Okay, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, and a blessed morning to all of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hey, happy Sunday. Today is the first Sunday in the month of May. Agragra korodia bedu May, but God is faithful, man, and I want to specially welcome each and every one of you to today's broadcast in the name of Jesus Christ, our special Sunday service. We are very grateful to God for the privilege of technology that has made it possible for us to be able to converge and to share God's word. I believe that you have had your devotion this morning, as I always encourage you to do, because when we come online like that, we don't have the luxury of time to do praise and worship and opening prayer. And so I encourage you to do that at home early in the morning. Plan your Sunday, set your alarm, wake up at an appropriate time so that you can have a little devotion, even if it's just 5 minutes or 10 minutes, in preparation for our service or our broadcast this morning. So I believe that wherever you are, you've already done your devotion this morning and you are ready for this morning's broadcast. I want to thank all of you joining us by way of Facebook. You are welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that today's service will be a great blessing to you, and the teaching will be a great blessing to you as well in the name of Jesus Christ. Adamriku has a song that says that when we satisfy our belly with food, we must not forget to satisfy our spirit with God's word. And so these are two important aspects of our lives. The word of God, which is the priority. Before I continue with our teaching this morning, I'm very excited to announce to you that in the month of June, our highly anticipated and highly much awaited Media School of Ministry will be coming on live and colored. And we have opened the entire month of May for registrations. Last year was an awesome time. Last year, June, we had our School of Ministry. It was an awesome time. Everybody that attended was so blessed, was so edified, was so encouraged, and they are anticipating this year's edition, which promises to be awesome. So if you're listening to me right now and you want to take some time to learn, to educate yourself, to lift up yourself in the things of God, to upgrade yourself, then I encourage you that don't waste time, don't hesitate, register now. Register now for the School of Ministry, Media School of Ministry for the month of June. It is going to happen only on weekends, only on Saturdays in the month of June. All Saturdays in the month of June, 10 a.m. sharp, every Saturday. So it's flexible and it's going to be happening online. And so that means that wherever you are, you can register, you can sign up and be blessed. It is worth investing time and resources into your spiritual growth. So if you're listening to me and you want to be lifted up in the things of God, you want to invest in your spiritual growth, you're a pastor, you're a church worker, you're a church leader, you're a Christian who is serious about your spiritual growth and who wants to be lifted in the things of God, then do not waste time. Register for the Media School of Ministry right now. And the good thing is that this year, we have highly subsidized our registration so that as many of you that want to register will not be hindered. This year, our registration is only 50 cedis. Our tuition is free. Registration is just 50 cedis. That means that you have the entire month of May to raise 50 cedis to register for the School of Ministry. And I trust that when you do, your life will not be the same again. Inside Ghana and out of Ghana, we have made provisions for everybody to register. So, hey, what are you waiting for? Just register. If you want to register, send me a private message. If you have access to my WhatsApp, send me a WhatsApp message. Some way, somehow, by all means, get connected so that you can be blessed with this School of Ministry. All right. So we have been looking at the subject in Christ realities, in Christ realities, and we have been doing this for the past few weeks. We have been digging into the scriptures to discover truths about who we are and what we have in our union with Christ. Who we are and what we have in our union with Christ as Christians. You know, lots of people do not understand what Christianity is all about. A lot of people even think that Christianity is a religion, and they jump into it religiously. They take religious shelter from Christianity, and they miss a lot of wonderful things that God has really destined for them. And so this teaching is designed to help every Christian come to understand what it means to be a Christian, what we stand to benefit, what we stand to gain as Christians, what it actually means to be a Christian in Christ, in our union with Christ. And that is what we have been doing in this teaching for the past 12 weeks or so. Now, for the past weeks, we've looked at a few realities. We've looked at the fact that in Christ, we are a new creature. From 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we've looked at the fact that in Christ we have been made alive. From 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. And we've looked at the fact that in Christ we are the righteousness of God. Also in 1 Corinthians 5, 21. We've looked at the fact that in Christ we are freely justified. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Now all these things I'm quickly highlighting. They are things that we have in Nehemiah Seimre Achrechre. We've taken time to teach them individually, holistically, for like almost an hour. Each of them, we spent almost an hour explaining things into details. So if you want these teachings, please contact us and you get it. The ones that we started broadcasting on Facebook Live are available on my timeline and on the timeline of Charis Christian Center that you can get. And then we looked at the fact that in Christ, there is no condemnation for us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And then for week 6 or point 6, we came to look at the fact that in Christ, we have received reconciliation from Romans chapter 5, verse 11. And we came to look at the fact that in Christ, we have access into God's grace. That teaching was a powerful teaching that really blessed me a lot. In Christ, we have access into God's grace. And we took time to study Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. And last week, just last Sunday, we studied the fact that in Christ, we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Woo! And that one was also another mind-blowing and another refreshing and reverting teaching. That if you missed it, I encourage you to trace it on my timeline or visit Charis Christian Center on Facebook and you can get it. If you want the audio on your WhatsApp so that you can listen to it again and again and again without having to come to Facebook, please send us a private message and we'll make the message available for you. Praise the Lord. All right. So today we are continuing quickly to another reality. Now last week we looked at the fact that we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. And we discovered what redemption really means from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. And we looked at the implication of our redemption in Christ. And we looked at also what it means to be forgiving in Christ. We took time to establish the truth about our forgiveness in Christ. And in case you missed it, as I said, you can request for it. So today, we want to look at yet another important reality, and I want to share a prayer with you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for clarity and understanding in this atmosphere. We thank you that as your word comes forth, we are well fed. And your truth is established in our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ through your understanding by the Spirit. And all of you say a big amen. 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 I want to still be welcoming all of you who are joining us by way of Facebook Live. Thank you so much for joining this morning's teaching. I want you to share the broadcast. Share it right now. Just share it. Start your own watch party right now, so that it can reach as many people as it can. When you do that, you are being an ambassador of Christ. You are also sharing the good news. Yeah. So, today, we are looking at point number 9 in this teaching, And it is this: take your pen, your notepad, your tablets, and write this down. In Christ, we are complete. In Christ, we are complete. Complete. You know, the Lord has been laying it upon my heart for the past week to start a key broadcast. And so get ready. Get ready. I'm very sure that maybe today, Cry, we may go live in the evening or in the afternoon with a key broadcast of our teaching, so that our mothers and our brothers who may not be too familiar with the English will benefit from the key broadcast. So pray for us. It is Jesus glorified. Amen. In Christ, we are complete. I want us to go to Colossians. Today we'll be dealing with Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians is one of the amazing books that Apostle Paul wrote. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. We'll read something from there to set the foundation for our teaching this morning. In Christ, we are complete. That is point number 9 for week number 10. In Christ, we are complete. Let's read together. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says that, "For in him," that is in Christ, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means that when you see Jesus Christ, you've seen the fullness of God. When you see Jesus Christ, you have seen God. This statement is going to come in very handy as I go on with the teaching. So please pay attention to it, underline it in your Bible, or highlight it on your tablet or on your phone. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means that when you see Jesus Christ, or when you mention Jesus, or when you engage Jesus Christ, you are actually engaging the totality of God. You are engaging the Holy Ghost, you are engaging God the Father, you are engaging the totality of everything of God. You are engaging El Shaddai, El Elyon, Rapha, Tikenu, whatever. In Christ Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means that everything God is present in Christ. Or the easiest way I can put this is that Jesus Christ is the physical representation of the fullness of God. Because the Bible says that God is spirit. God cannot be seen with the naked eye. And the God who is spirit, the God who created the heavens and the earth, this almighty, all-powerful God, encapsulated himself in the person called Jesus Christ. So when you see Jesus Christ, you've seen God fully. One way I can also explain this to you is that Jesus Christ is like the icon of God. When computer programs are written, you don't see the programs. Computer programs are normally digits and signs and symbols. You don't see them. And they are all embedded in your computer. But what they do is that they put an icon of the program on your desktop, or even on your phone, your desktop of your phone. You see the icons there. When you click the icons, or when you tap the icons, they now launch you into the entire program. So the icon becomes the fullness of the program bodily. And that is what it means when the Bible says that Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 1, those who just joined us, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, fully represented. And then verse 10 says that, "And you are complete in him." Don't forget that when we started this teaching of In Christ Realities, I told you that when you are now reading the Bible, especially the New Testament epistles, you pay attention to statements like "in him," "through him," "by whom," "in whom," "through whom." Start statements that's "in him," "through him," "by him," "in whom." Pay attention to those statements, because those are the statements that unveil or that exposes us to the truth or the reality of who we are in Christ or what Christ is to us. And so you see it right there in chapter, in verse 10 of Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 and 10. It says that in him we are complete and you are complete in him. Then it continues to say, who is the head of all principality and power? Glory. Jesus Christ is the head of all principality and power. Now pay attention to these words closely because they are going to be meaning a lot as I explain. I told you to pay attention to the fact that in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then pay attention to you are complete in him. That is our subject for today. Okay, so I'll explain that. But then pay attention also to what he says. Who is the head of all principality and power? And that place I can put Almighty there. He's Almighty. He's the head of all principality and power. Again, you see the apostle helping the believers to understand the authenticity of Christ, or what we call the supremacy of Christ. Or boa ama ejidi fone hu Christo tumidi. Or boa ama we say Christo nye nipa keke. And I say Christo nye small boy, but he's oye nyame ampa. Na onunne abodi nyina ni tumi nyina so hene. Tumi nyina ra. And you know, he's the head of all principality and power. Pay attention to this. Please, because I'm going to be referring to this statement going to the latter part of the teaching so that it will click, bam, like that for you. So, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Now, I want us to make the confession as we always do. Say, I am complete in him. I am complete in him. Okay, so we are going to discover what it means to be complete in Christ. And we are going to discover why the Apostle Paul made this statement, and we'll all wrap it up. Are you ready? Okay, so first of all, I have a few points. Now, the first one is this. It is important for us to know why Apostle Paul made this statement to the Colossian church. I told you, Apostle Paul was the one who wrote this letter to the church and brought this truth out by the Holy Spirit. So, why did he make this particular statement? It is important to know why he made this statement. Okay, now he has said in verse 8, if you have your Bible, you see that before he came to verse 9 and 10, he has said in verse 8 that they should see to it that no one takes them captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and basic principles of this world rather than Christ. He had told them in verse 8 that see to it that no one takes you captive, no one deceives you with hollow teachings, with deceptive teachings, with philosophies that are not based on Christ, but are based on human principles and human rudiments. He warned them in verse 8. So you will see that there was something happening. The statement of the apostle was not vain. And so, why did Apostle Paul make this statement? What was going on that made him make that statement? What was going on? Now, a close study of the book of Colossians, a background study of the book of Colossians reveals to us that in the church or in the city of Colossae, there had appeared some false teachers. False teachers who had crept into the church and they were teaching false doctrines. Okay? They were teaching false doctrines. And the things they were teaching, they were trying to, one, undermine the person of Christ and the work of Christ and the sufficiency of the work of Christ to believers. These false teachers were teaching certain things that was trying to undermine the person of Christ. They were trying to create the scenario, or they were trying to paint the picture that Christ was not enough. Okay? They were trying to undermine Christ. Pay attention carefully. This is so important to me. They were trying to undermine Christ. And today we see that happening. Religions popping up. Teachings popping up. Quotes. Some of them is just quotes. On social media. Quotes that are shared on WhatsApp, philosophies, ideas that are not Christocentric, We call them non-Christocentric ideas. Okay, and there are people who had crept in into the church and they were teaching things and they were trying to paint the picture that Christ was not enough. They were trying to make the believers feel that when you receive Jesus, it is not enough. And they were trying to also daint the image of Christ. They were trying to make the believers feel that Christ is not who he is. Now, if you are very smart and you are following, all of a sudden the scripture we just read will be coming live to you. Then you begin to understand why Paul says that he is the head of all principality and power. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So you now begin to see Paul's defense to those teachings. And when you study Apostle Paul, one of the things you realize about him is that all the churches he planted for Jesus Christ and most of the letters that he wrote them to address specific issues. And he never took it lightly whenever the person and the work of Christ was being undermined. And that was exactly what was happening in the church of Colossae. Teachers had come and they were teaching false doctrines, trying to undermine the person and the work of Christ. And they were trying to confuse the believers. They were trying to convince them or confuse them to think that receiving Jesus Christ or believing in the gospel was not enough. It meant nothing. That's what they were trying to do. And today we see a lot of teachings, a lot of cults, a lot of religious presentations that seems to suggest that Christ is not enough. Oh, what for Jesus today? Jesus, grace, moving free, your son call. Grace. No, that is the picture they try to paint. They try to undermine Jesus Christ, and they try to undermine. And in fact, some of them even claim to be Christians. In the book of Acts, chapter 22, Apostle Paul warned the believers that after he was gone, people will come out, even out of their own sect, and teach false doctrines. False doctrines are very, very dangerous to the church. And the Bible does not spare rebuking and warning believers against false doctrine. The reason is because Christianity is based on doctrine. Now, when we say doctrine, a lot of people see it as some mystical hoo-hoo-hoo thing. No. The word doctrine simply means teaching. Okay? What is the meaning of doctrine? Doctrine means teaching. Teaching. That's what doctrine means. So, doctrine is not any hoo-hoo-hoo. Hey, you and your doctrine. And that No. Where you are, don't be superficial. The word doctrine simply means teaching. So, the Bible warns believers against false doctrines or false teachings. The reason is because Christianity is founded on the reality of teaching. Christianity is founded on teaching, the teaching of the truth of Christ Jesus. So the moment false teaching begins to enter Christianity, it undermines the authenticity and the reality of the Christian faith. For example, if you're an engineer or a lawyer or a scientist or whatever your field of study is, that field of study is governed by particular truths. When you study science or when you study law, there are particular instructions that you learn that makes you a scientist. There are particular instructions that you learn that makes you a lawyer. For example, you cannot go and learn instructions about cars and auto mechanics and claim to be a lawyer. That will make you an engineer. So when you are studying auto mechanics and your lecturer is now beginning to infuse you with planting and agroforestry, he is undermining the authenticity of who you are aiming to become. But what they make a note here, say here. The same way, Christianity is founded on the set of instructions based on the finished work of Christ and our identity in him. So the moment there is any teaching or any doctrine, any practice that is contrary to the reality of what Christianity presents, it is dangerous because it leads you away from the truth of Christianity. That is why I always advise Christians that stay away from materials, stay away from broadcasts, stay away from social media presentations, teachings, quotes. Some of them, the quotes are nicely designed with flowers at the left and the right. And they write it at the center nicely and it will captivate you. But if it is not Christocentric, if it doesn't bring to bear, if it doesn't agree with the truth of Jesus Christ, you must not quickly and sheepishly, as scripture say, swallow it. You must not. A lot of people, sometimes some people, quotes that they have made, those quotes came out of their frustration. Somebody will get up and out of his frustration, he will make a quote, I care about no one apart from myself. And then it becomes your national anthem. As a Christian, you don't follow such foolish things. When the word of God now teaches us that in Christ, we entertain what we call brotherly love. So you see, teachings and nice, they are very nice. Don't forget that every counterfeit must be close to the original. So these teachings, these ideas, they are very nice. They are very appealing to our senses. In fact, they promise a path of wisdom, but they are not Christocentric. And they undermine the reality of who Christ is, and they undermine the authenticity of our faith in Christ. And that is exactly what was happening in the church in Colossae. And Paul wrote to them and was correcting that. Okay, let me move on to my next point. Now, they painted the picture that Christ was not enough, and that if Christians wanted, listen to this, they were trying to paint the picture that if you are a Christian and you want true spiritual fulfillment, and you want to be truly complete, you want to be truly satisfied, you want to gain high spiritual fulfillment, then Jesus Christ and the gospel is not enough. Then you have to now begin to follow a new mystical way. You have to pursue spirituality further. I was saying, who does to call else Christ only there? Or one step. But I was also saying, those who call now, yeah, near maybe. A mamreni, a mani, be or what? I was also to me, they will for it for him. There are things that you have to do. There are practices that you have to follow so that you can attain spiritual completeness. Don't forget, we are talking about the fact that in Christ you are complete. And we have read from Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And I'm explaining to you the background of what was going on in the church of Colossians that triggered the apostle to bring out this truth from the Spirit of God. So they say that if you're a Christian and you want to achieve real spirituality, then you need to go beyond Christ. You need to look for spirituality beyond Christ. So in the book of Colossians, you find that these people were teaching about the worship of angels, saints, calling of saints, worshiping of angels, celebration of special festivals, following the new moons, the Sabbaths, the feasts of the Jews, the Hare Krishnas, the Buddhists, you know. And then you see Christians who are like, oh, nyami obebia. Nyami obebia, eh? Christo so eda nyami edi. Ura ayi enkremosumu abunze nyami oho. Ura Buddhist abunze nyami oho. Ura haji. That is an undermining of the purity of our Christian faith. Are you paying attention? That's an undermining. So they were trying to bring in strange doctrines, and they were enticing and deceiving the Christians that it is by pursuing these extra things that they can find completeness. It is by following, by celebrating this new moon, by worshiping angels, you know, because all those things were there. There were other religions and other sects in those times, and they were trying to confuse Christianity. And today, in our world, we see these things happening. We see cults and sects branded as Christianity, drawing Christians away from the simplicity of Christ and leading them into certain practices. Somebody asked me, Apostle, where did all this gymnastics come from in Christianity? Today you go to church and you cannot just sit in a service, pray, worship, hear God's word and go home. You cannot. If a church is like that, it means the church is not powerful. Today, church must be rudimental. There must be red and blue oil. There must be some drama. There must be candles. There must be a she in the spirit. There must be drama. There must be holy water, folder water. There must be something. But I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that a revival that is hitting the body of Christ now will rescue believers from the path of digression away from the truth and the simplicity of Christ.
So it has almost become like church cannot just be fellowship, but that was the apostolic pattern. That was how it was. The believers, the Bible says in the book of Acts, they met and they fellowshiped together. They met, they fellowship, they preach, they taught, they shared the word, and they focused on spreading the word. Now church has become materialistic and acoustic, syncretic. Let me use that theological term. Syncretic. We call something syncretism, where we have to bring in certain things. People are drinking oil. People have salt under their pillow. Only if you want your life to be sweet, come for only for direction. All sort of things. I heard somebody tell me, he said, Apostle, I was looking for breakthrough, and the prophet told me that I should shave my armpit and, excuse me, say my genitalia hair, the hair on my genitalia. I should shave it and I should cut my fingernails and bring it to the church for direction. These things are syncretism. These are things that have crept into the church. And we have men of God who have upheld these things, and we have people, thousands of them, following these things because of their life problems. They need marriage, they need to travel, they need visa, they need peace of mind. Because of human need, the devil capitalizes on human need to lead people away from the simplicity which is in Christ. And that is called syncretism. But I encourage you, as the word is coming to you right now, that if you have been a victim of that, the Lord is calling you out of that corruption into the purity of our Christian faith. Don't forget, we are talking about you are complete in Christ. And I'm giving you the background. So these people painted that picture, and were trying to deceive the Christians in Colossae to pursue other methods, other means. And it's for this reason that Apostle Paul wrote this book to the Colossians. I hope you are getting it now. Are you getting it now? All right. So he warned them. That is why he warned them in verse 8 of this Colossians that we read. You know, he warned them in verse 8 that they should be careful that no one carries them away with false teaching. And that is an instructive thing. As believers, we must watch out for ourselves. We must be vigilant that nobody carries us away. We must grow and mature to the point where when we are hearing a false teaching, we know and we decipher it. We pick it. We pick it. And he warned them that let no one carry you away with philosophies. The Greek is philosophia. The teachings of men. Doctrines of men, ideologies of men, which are not after Christ, which are not Christocentric, which does not reveal who you are in Christ, which does not portray who Christ is to you, which does not reveal your redemption in Christ. So somebody comes and tells you that there is a witch in your family that is sitting on your prosperity, that is sitting on your breakthrough, and they have gathered in your hometown and they are planning a meeting over your head, and right now they have taken your womb, or they have done this and that. Paul says that refuse those things. These are syncretic. Said, stay, make sure that no one carries you captive, deceptive. I would say, before you can see and experience, some people say, before you can see and experience the supernatural, you have to wake up at 12 midnight and remove your dress and stand at the center of the room. Make sure that you stand at the center of your room and then take a bottle of oil and lift it up to Jehovah. And they teach you incantation. Paul says that make sure that nobody takes you away, fills you with some of these deceptive things. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says the same thing. He said that we should beware of the cunning craftiness of men who lie in wait to deceive. The prayer of everyone who makes coffin is for somebody to die so they come and buy a coffin. The prayer of every false teacher, every false prophet, is to capitalize on your problem. You want visa, you want marriage, uton obi anto. They capitalize on your problems. Normal things that happen to everybody, they capitalize on your problems and drag you into religion and mislead you away from Christ And when they mislead you, the further you go into distraction, the further you go into deception. They say, come, all your problems will be solved. Then why is that church still opening? Because everybody's their problem should have been solved by now. But the church has been running for 5 years now. You see that? So Apostle Paul warns us. He says that, don't let anybody, and this morning I charge you, I instruct you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, just like Apostle Paul did to the church. Don't let anybody carry you away with philosophy. Don't let anybody carry you away with false teaching. When I was in Bible school, I heard a story. They said somebody has sinned. The person has committed fornication. And the man of God of the house says that if the person wanted to be cleansed from that fornication she has committed, she should bring a bottle of communion wine and 50 Ghana cedis. And the sister ran like a frog being pursued. Ran for communion bottle and communion wine and 50 Ghana cedis to seek redemption from the fornication she had committed. Can you imagine? And if people will tell you their stories and their encounters, you will be amazed. You will be amazed. You know, in church, we discuss these things a lot. And David, my friend David says that the lie has become so practical and so true that the truth, those who preach the truth and those who stick to the right thing rather lose like the odd ones. Hallelujah. So, suppose I charge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that do not be carried away by empty philosophies that are not based on Christ. Do not be carried away by strange teachings. Now, social media is everywhere. Your phone is a time bomb. Your phone is a doorway to the rest of the world. Just a click and you are seeing so many informations. Even in this time of coronavirus, look at the amount of false information that has been passed through social media. So social media has opened a doorway for information to reach everybody at every point in time without any censoring. Everybody can sit in their room at every point in time and write anything. Every sect, every group of people can just create anything and begin to spread it. That is why as believers, we must stick to the truth of the gospel of Christ. Just like the Colossian church was in the danger of being deceived to turn their backs on the finished work of Christ and to begin to follow empty philosophies, we stand today in our world challenged with so many options, so many religions, so many cults pushing their teaching down our throats. But as believers and as Christians, we must stand true to the faith. Hallelujah. We must stand true to the gospel and not fall for it. I hope my admonition has been well received. So it was against this background that the Apostle Paul told them that you are complete in Christ. That is to say that he was telling them that, listen, contrary to what these people are trying to tell you, that if you want a higher spiritual experience, if you want to find true fulfillment, then Christ is not enough. You don't have it all. You need to pursue certain practices. You need to worship angels. You need to celebrate the new moon festivals. You need to join the Passover. You need to join the harams. You need to follow all these spiritual things. You need to follow all of these things. Contrary to that, Apostle Paul audaciously told them that you are complete in Christ. This is Kalasula Leto Braba. You see how he defends it. You are complete in Christ. He draws the attention to the fact that you are complete now. If you are complete, then you don't need anything again. Come on now. If you are complete in Christ, then it means you don't need everything that the false teaching is suggesting again. I'm explaining this thing to you in context now. So this was to tell them that, listen, you guys are complete in Christ. The apostle was telling them, you are complete in Christ. You are complete in Christ. That was to say that what Christ has done is enough. What Christ has done is enough. What Jesus accomplished on the cross is enough. I'm coming somewhere right now. Your chair will start shaking. You give me 1 minute. What Jesus has done is enough. What Christ has accomplished is enough. And your faith in Christ is enough. So when the Bible said that you are complete in Christ, this is what he means. He meant to say that what Christ has done is enough, and your faith in Christ for what he has done is enough. You don't need any other thing. You don't need any extra spiritual effort outside of Christ to be complete. He admonished the believers that there was no need for them to seek spiritual enhancement outside Christ, because in Christ you are totally spiritually enhanced. There was no need to seek forgiveness of sins outside Christ, because in Christ your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. There was no need to seek spiritual authority outside Christ. There was no need to call saints. There's no need to go for a charm. There's no need to go for an amulet. Because in Christ, you have been endued with power from the Holy Ghost. There is no need to go for powder to put under your shop so that people can buy. In Christ, you have favor. He was saying that you are complete in Christ. It means that everything you need for spirituality has been fully deposited in your spirit in Christ. So you are complete. Now, let me come to my next point. The word he used, I hope you are following. Welcome all of you who have joined us by way of Facebook again. We are looking at In Christ Realities. Today is episode 10, and we are looking at the point, in Christ we are complete. I've been giving the background of the teaching so far, and I'm moving to my next point. The word he used in the Greek for complete, listen carefully, in the Greek is plero. Plero, that's where we get pleroma. Plero, P-L-E-R-O-O, plero. That word means for something to be full to its appropriate capacity. Listen carefully. For something to be full in its appropriate capacity. That means that, for example, when you take a water bottle, okay, when you buy this Voltaic and this other bottled water in Ghana especially, that is the appropriate level that the bottom is, because when they fill it below or beneath, it is not fair. So they give you the appropriate measure, the accurate measure of fullness. That is the word plero. So when the apostle Paul told them that you are complete in Christ, he meant to tell them that you are full to the appropriate measure. Okay, because ladies are listening to me, let me enter into the ladies' world a bit, because ladies like to sew dress. Your bust is 34. And then the tailor says that, no, you don't, I must add 20 inches. Because the 34 is not, but he measured your bust and then he realized that your bust is 34. Or you're a guy, your trouser, your waist is 33. And then the tailor says that, I must add 15 more inches to make it 48. Are you understanding that? To make it 48, when you wear that trouser, ebe hojo hojo. Because something more has been added. In the same way, the word plero in the Greek means for something to be at its appropriate measure, perfect measure, without needing any addition or subtraction. So in Christ, we are complete. What Christ has done is plero. It is to the appropriate capacity, to the full measure, no additives. That is why Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. There is nothing to be added and nothing to be deducted. Who you are in Christ is plero. It is perfect. Your righteousness is plero. It is perfect. Your holiness is plero. It is perfect. Your sanctification is plero. It is perfect. Your justification is plero. It is perfect. I wish somebody would spell that on the page for me. P-L-E-R-O-O, plero. To be to the appropriate capacity. That's the word for complete. I hope you are getting this. I hope you are getting this. And that's the picture he paints. It means, again I said, it means there is no need for us as Christians, as believers of Jesus Christ, to pursue any other spiritual path of enlightenment outside Christ. There is no need to perceive any deeper revelation. There is no deeper revelation outside Christ. The Bible says that there is no other gospel, there is no other foundation that any man can lay apart from that which has already been laid. When you try to lay any other foundation, you are diverting from the foundation which is Christ. There is no other spiritual enlightenment outside of Christ. The moment you seek a deeper revelation or a higher revelation or a higher spiritual account, some people, all they want is that they want to fall down. When Jesus came, was he falling down? Oh, they have to fall down to see the presence of God. I have to shake to see the presence of God. Hey, you are looking for a bright light to show up in the left corner of your room. No, forget. You see, Lele Masuria, what Christ has given us is greater than experiences. That is why the Bible talks about faith, confident trust in that which has been accomplished. That's why the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. You see, our religion or our faith, our life in Christ is based on trust. We trust what has been provided. We trust what has been done. Do you understand that? We receive what has been offered. We don't create our own Christianity. We don't create our own experience. As for me, it is me. That is how if it is like that, you see, as for me, that is how I see. No, it is not how you see it. It is what Jesus has done. So you see what Jesus has done. You don't see how you see it. So if how you see it is not how Jesus has done it, then you change how you see it and align it to how Jesus has done it. In Christ, you are complete. That is why I chose our background song today from Hillsong. Christ is enough for me. We are complete in Christ. I said, we are complete in Christ. Come on, somebody shout glory. I'm complete in Christ. We are complete in Christ. Now, let me be bringing this to a close. I know some of my leaders have been saying, Apostle, the time is too short. But let me bring it to a close with a few more points. Why are we complete in Christ? Why are we complete? Why is it that in Christ, we don't need any other spirituality? In Christ, we don't need any other engagement, any other mystical performances, any other religious gymnastic activity. Adentina, ye sipi ewo Kristo mo. Adentina wo Kristo mo no ye hia eno ma fufro eni enuyo eni siseye ahodo eni nyankoma dini kusumu ahodo. Adentina Bible catcher say wo Kristo mo no ye complete. Adentia, listen to this carefully. The reason why we are complete in Christ is because Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Listen. The reason why we are complete in Christ is because Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So this is why I'm going to take you back to where I asked you to underline. When we read Colossians earlier, I told you that pay attention to the first statement. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the last statement, he is the head of all principality and power. And the reason why we are complete in Christ is because of those two things. Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ is the head of all principality and power. The power that you are going to look for to be complete, Christ is the head of that power. Aladia Satamaye. That thing you are trying to do to achieve spirituality or perfection, Christ is higher than that. So when you submit to any other thing apart from Christ, you are actually missing completeness. Lasula Meruka Ziandesh Le Kazaya. Okay, let me paint the picture for you very well. Imagine that we have a measure from 1 up to 100 on a wall. 1 up to 100 on a wall. Okay, and then Christ says that I am putting you right at scale number 100. Christ is number 100. Every other thing in the world is below. And then you have come to Christ and you are at number 100. And now you are saying that I am going to look for spirituality outside 100%. Which percentage again, brother? Everywhere you go to is below Christ. So everything you are trying to do to please God is below Christ. All your prayers and your tears wallowing for forgiveness is below what Christ has done. So you better stick to what Christ has done. The anointing oil and the foda water and the handkerchief and the salt and the honey is below Christ. So when you go for these things, you're actually losing completeness. Because Christ is the pleroma, kalilo masia. Christ is the fullness. So when you are in Christ, you have entered fullness. Brothers and sisters, we are in Christ. Therefore, we have entered into the fullness of the Godhead. That is why we are complete. That is why we don't need any other thing. We don't need any other religion. We don't need any other spiritual incantation. All we need is available in Christ. And we are in Christ. And so we are complete there. Oh, Rataka Shatala. I hope you have got this. We are complete in Christ because Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What this means is that Christ Jesus is God in the flesh. When a person comes to Christ, he has come to God who is the highest authority in the universe. We cannot find spirituality. We cannot find fulfillment beyond God. Christ is God. When we come to Christ, we have come to God. To seek spirituality outside Christ is to be seeking spirituality outside God. Therefore, it is a vain path. There is no need to look for spirituality any further when you are in Christ, because he is the full stop of the story of life. Paul says it like this in Galatians. He says he is the point, he's the end of the law. He's the fullness, the fulfillment of the law. That means that Brothers and sisters, there is no need for you to seek any spiritual encounter outside Christ. Rest in him. To leave Christ and to go looking for spirituality elsewhere, to go looking for spiritual fulfillment elsewhere, to leave the truth of Christ and to seek spirituality from the philosophies of this world is like walking away from an ocean and going to swim in a bucket of water. Yes, I just said that. Se ube free Yesu echi, ube free Christo nukrenum, aprese ube sunsumu hunumubi, ewo bebino. And se di ewe free epuano, se uko jare, ewo bokitimu, waira. Your life will be miserable and your life will be frustrated. Now, let me chip this in quickly as my last 2 points. I hope you are being blessed. Come on, share the video, share the video, share the broadcast. Let people join and be blessed as I am wrapping up. Hallelujah. Now, let me chip this in. When I was studying yesterday, the Spirit of God drew my attention to something, so I wrote it down quickly. Let me chip it in. What drives many people to go seeking for fulfillment and validation outside Christ? You know, my wife has baptized me into critical thinking because she's a critical thinker. She always thinks outside the box. So I call her Madam Jupiter. Always thinking outside the box. So the Spirit of God drew my attention to this. What makes people go seeking for fulfillment and validation outside Christ? What makes it? The reason is because they focus on self instead of Christ. The reason why sometimes Christians are quick to abandon the simplicity that is in Christ, forgiveness, righteousness, sanctification, justification, power, glory, honor, life that is in Christ, and they are seeking for other things. They want to engage into, they are going to drink anointing oil. They are looking for communion wine. They are looking for elements. They are following after things. They are going into occultism and all of that. The reason is because they focus on self instead of Christ. All they see is their weakness. All they see is their emptiness. All they see is their imperfection. All they see is their lack. All they see is their need. And as long as all they focus on is on this self things, they begin to create a void, and they are deceived to think that Christ cannot answer that. And they are deceived to launch into a journey to seek an answer to those things apart from Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, can I announce to you boldly that if there is a problem or there is an issue of life that Christ does not provide solution and peace to, then nothing in this world can provide peace to it. Telling you. Se Christo ni mwaye eme wiasia se misebia. Bibi bie ni huwa ebe buwasa adienama. Your greatest emotions of fear, disappointment, devastation, need, emptiness cannot be satisfied by anything but Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let me wrap this up. This is the same thing that happened to Adam and Eve. Remember? The same thing that happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were complete in the garden. Everything they needed was available for them in the garden. Now, that's a beautiful picture. Everything they needed was available. They were placed in Eden, pleasure. And in Christ, we have been brought into pleasure. You know, that's why I've been like many people before, okay? Also doing Christianity religiously. Always hungry, always not fulfilled. Everything was not making sense until I discovered the gospel. And my life has never been the same. There are some prayers I have never prayed. I can't even pray them because it is outrageously nonsense. It doesn't make sense. There are certain things I can never do because my mind has now been settled. Christ is R-E-S-T. Jesus is R-E-S-T. Jesus is R-E-S-T. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he that comes to him has found rest. When you come to Christ, you rest from all your works. You rest from all your religious practices. All those religious things that give you satisfaction for 1 week, and then the next week you feel so empty, you feel so sinful. Can't you see it cannot satisfy? It is in Christ that you no longer have to thirst for righteousness again. Because the Bible says that he that thirsts after righteousness, when he comes to me, he shall be filled. He said, neither shall they hunger or thirst anymore. When you follow after religion, you will always be thirsty after every month. You will always be going to Achaia Mountains every 3 weeks because you come back and feeling empty again. But Jesus said, I'll come to me and I'll give you living water that when you drink, you'll never be thirsty again. When you drink of the fullness of Christ, you no longer feel thirsty and hungry. You no longer feel the need to do certain things anymore. You spend the rest of your life resting in Christ and blessing other people. Come on. Come on. Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden. They were complete. That is a picture. We are complete in Christ. They were complete in Eden. The devil deceived them. He deceived them to believe that they are lacking something. He deceived them to believe that God had not given them all they needed. He deceived them that they are not complete. Never fall for that distraction. Hold on to your faith and your confessions all the days of your life, and you will see the hand of the Lord in your life. Don't have a slippery feet. A problem kakrabaya no jani uto di for bukayoyo. Problem kakrabaya no ko di for saskatuaho. Asem kakrabaya no nam prayer center ha. Hold on to Christ. If you can pray at the prayer center and God will listen, what tells you that God is not in your bedroom or in your hall or in your kitchen or in your bathroom? Don't wander. Don't let your feet wander. Don't let your emotions deceive you. Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, complete pleasure, fully provided. The devil came, the devil deceived them, making them believe that they lacked something, making them believe that God had not given them all they needed, making them believe that they were not complete. And now, do you know what? He directed them to do something in order to become complete. And that is how they fell. The devil will deceive you that you are not complete in Christ. You are not anointed in Christ. You are not forgiving. You are not righteous. You are not blessed. You are not loved. He will deceive you that it is not true, so that he will tell you, now go and do this so that you feel blessed. Go and do this so that you feel loved. Go and do this so that you'll be forgiving. Go and do this so that you'll be justified. And the moment you follow the devil, the moment you throw your hands in the hands of the enemy, he will lead you into all kinds of deception and distraction. You are complete in Christ. I said you are complete in Christ. I think if this scripture has never, you have, if you had never understood this scripture before, today is your day. Anytime we neglect what God has made available for us in Christ, and we seek to engage some fancy spiritual stuff to become fulfilled in God, we ruin our lives. Write that down. Anytime we neglect what God has made available for us in Christ, and we seek to engage in some fancy spiritual stuff to be fulfilled in life and in God, we ruin our lives. As long as Christianity is concerned, as long as spirituality is concerned, Christ is the full stop. The best thing to do, somebody asked, so pastor, okay, we are complete in Christ, so what should I do? Shouldn't I pray? No. As long as you are complete in Christ, you spend the rest of your life enjoying and engaging in the provisions of Christ. So your prayer is not a prayer of seeking. It is a prayer of acknowledging. You live a fulfilled life in the truth, abiding in the truth. That is what Christianity is all about. Woo! Glory! Let me close this broadcast finally by quoting to you something from a respectable theologian I read from, A.M. Hunter. A.M. Hunter. In his exposition on the book of Colossians, this is what he wrote. Listen carefully. And I'll copy this particular thing and then post it under the broadcast. This is what he wrote. He said, to all who would improve Christianity by admixing it with spiritualism or Sabbatarianism or occultism or any such extra, the book of Colossians offers this warning. In quotes, what Christ is and has done for us is enough for salvation. We need no extra mediators or taboos or ascetics to piece out the gospel with rags and tatters of alien cults is not to enrich it, but to corrupt it.
Uh-huh.
To piece out the gospel with rags and tatters of alien cults is not to enrich it, but to corrupt it. Mami, can you treat me not as ye? I say, mua mususu se. Mobe boa Christosom, se modi nyankoma de ni sunsun mwa kakandye, eni nyankoma de be kahono, se modi be boa Christosom. O se, wuma osuma fo por tre koma kolose fono, e bom mo koko se, die Christo aye, eni ni pesua Christo eye no. E nua na e hunhia, na e nusune adie no e mashe. Ye hia intemjina fo, and I hear here a mamreni a mania any sun sumu and if an ascetics no sun sumu can she be a rebu and odivie say say ye pese ye de entomago a pache pache Christosum any gospel na ye mani nyefe nemu ye sen. When we piece the gospel with rags and tatters of alien doctrines and cults, we don't enrich it, we corrupt it. Praise the Lord. My dear friends, so soon we've come to the end of today's service. I know that you have been blessed. I know you have learned something. You know, our blessedness comes from the learning. I know you've learned something. I don't want you to let it stop here. Revisit your notes. listen to it again. Draw out all the juice from this message and establish yourself in it in the course of the week. Thank you so much. I encourage you to stay with Christ. Don't go anywhere else. There is nothing there. Don't go anywhere. Because in Him, you are complete. Remain in Christ and in His basic message. This is something Apostle Dr. Professor Poku Nyina said. Remain in Christ and in His basic message. Tena Christo ninim fiti asia semunumu. Mudifobia nada. Mankofobia fobia nada. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you so much for the opportunity to feed on your word. Your word has enlightened us. Your word has empowered us. And we are refreshed in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you and we decree that we remain in you. We remain in your truth. We declare that we will not be swayed. When troubles come, we'll remain faithful in your truth. We will not allow anything to sway us. We hold on to our completeness in you. And we stand in your truth, forever liberated and rested. No force of hell can pluck us from your hands. We are safe and secure. We live the rest of our lives, blessing lives and touching lives and transforming people with your truth in the name of Jesus Christ. And you all say amen. Amen and amen and amen. Guys, Charlie, thank you so much for connecting this morning. Thank you so much for joining our service this morning. I'm so grateful. I know you are blessed. I know you are blessed. Please, if the broadcast has blessed you, which I know it has, consider sharing it with others. Consider starting a watch party on Facebook with others. If you have this available on your WhatsApp, share it with your friend. Share it with your family. Share it with your brother. Share it with your sister. By all means, that is the way you do the work of an evangelist. You may not be able to go walking on the street preaching with a megaphone, but as you share these messages with people, you are passing on the truth of God's word, and it goes into your account. So please share the message. Every week, you have the blessed opportunity to also do the work of the ministry by spreading the gospel through the sharing of the messages that comes to you. For those of you who are in the position to give, you know that at Charis Christian Center, every first Sunday of the month, we give our partnership for the cause of the gospel. From what we have earned, we support the cause of the gospel. Listen, no bank, no organization supports the church. The organization and the bank and the people that support the church are we believers ourselves. When coronavirus hits the nations, you realize that if you listen to the news, every government was making plans for its people. No government released any funds for local churches. This is because in the wisdom of God, it is the people, believers, that sponsor the things of Christ. And so if we don't do it, no one else will do it. And giving is not dependent on how much we have. It is our heart and our willingness. And so for those of you whose partnerships are ready for the month of April, and for those of you who want to give our last gift, as we give every Sunday, because we are not meeting physically, we have made provision for you to give to Charis Christian Center through MTN Momo Pay. There's something called MTN Momo Pay. So you can send your love gift and your partnership to the ministry for the cause of the gospel to MTN Momo Pay number 787452. 787452. And the name is Charis Christian Center. I thank you and I pray for you and I bless you in advance in the name of Jesus Christ for your love and commitment in giving to the cause of the gospel. You are so blessed for doing that. All of you who will be giving your partnership today, especially all of you at Charis Christian Center who will be giving your monthly partnership to the ministry today, I want to say God richly bless you and thank you so much for your love and commitment and dedication to the cause of the gospel. You are blessed, you are highly favored, and you are deeply loved. Till we meet again tomorrow, 7 p.m. to 7:30 for our 30-minute prayer session. Remain blessed. I love you, but I always say, God loves you the best. Shalom. Peace. Bye-bye.